What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of She or They with Kittens. I'm Kittens, and today I've got Sarah Shahi on with me as my guest. Yes, the Sarah Shahi from Sex Life. Yes, the Sarah Shahi that played Carmen on The L Word. I know we're all freaking out. I am too. I'm so excited to have her on today, and honestly, like, I feel like I've met a good amount of people in my life that are, you know, like celebrities or fancy whatevers. Like, I've met quite a few. Thankfully, I've been in some amazing situations where there's all kinds of talented people around me. But when I met Sarah, bro, I was so like giddy inside. I was like, needed to keep it together because she's Persian like me. And in The L Word, which was like such a pivotal thing for me, I was 15 watching this. I had no idea what a lesbian was. I didn't know I was gay. I didn't know like any of this. And I see this woman who I find out is Persian. She's like doing so much cool stuff on the show, and she was a DJ. And like seeing that, I was just like, this kind of gave me a little bit of permission to be myself. You know, like if this person, even if she's playing a fictional character, the fact that I could like identify with her identity, her like real life identity, and kind of bridge that with the character she was playing, I was like, okay, I think I might be bits and pieces of this. And so that gave me some permission to kind of be myself. But anyways, the way we met, which was so funny and like really a full circle moment, because mind you, like, I watched The L Word religiously. Her character was a DJ. And so we met a few years back. I think it was like 2018 or 2017. I don't know. I was DJing this Pride event in Chicago, and she was hosting it. And I was like, oh my God, like, she's going to be there and I'm going to be DJing. And the person that I looked up to that played a DJ is going to be there. Well, you know, you get what I'm saying. So anyways, we had this really cute moment. She like came out on stage while I was DJing. I was like on the mic and we had a good little time, and it was really cute. I'll insert clip. but yeah, anyways, I'm rambling now. I'm so excited to get into today's episode with Sarah because we are obviously going to talk a little bit about The L Word, which she shares some stuff that like honestly was so shocking to me about that experience. So we're going to get into that. We're going to talk about Persian culture and identity. We're going to talk about mom stuff, sex life, the show, and really so many inspiring little tidbits about just chasing your happiness, being yourself in the way that gives you the best shot at being fulfilled and happy in life, despite all the ups and downs. There's so many good little things that I was like, oh my God, I want to like tattoo this on my eyeballs because it's so good. I feel like I just need those little quotes to keep me going through difficult times and good times, honestly. But anyways, so we're going to get into today's episode with Sarah. Before we do, though, please make sure you like and subscribe and follow. Come find me on Instagram at SheHerThey or at I Am Kittens or both. And there's also a newsletter. So if you go to www.sheherthey.com, you can go sign up and subscribe for the newsletter, which I send out every week. And there's always going to be some kind of like unreleased thing or early access to an episode or early announcements, like all kinds of fun stuff. So make sure you get signed up for that so you don't miss another episode or anything special that might be in the newsletter. So yeah, let's get into today's episode with Sarah Shahi right now.
How are you?
Yeah, there we go. I'm so good. How are you?
I'm good. This is so great. How long have you had this podcast?
I actually started it like mid 2020. And okay. It actually started from a playlist. I just had a playlist of like queer women in music. And I was like, there's no like central space for queer women in music. Like all the Pride playlists are all the same people. It's like Sam Smith and Britney Spears and Lady Gaga and like Madonna. We get it.
Donna Summer. Yeah.
Yeah. So I was like, whatever, there's so many cool like queer women in music. So let me make a playlist.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my gosh, I know like 90% of these people. Let's have some cool chats about like creative journeys and authenticity and da da da.
Yeah.
And then I was like, there's so many cool people doing other shit that are maybe not queer or just, you know, just
doing
different stuff that have some different identity or are going against the grain or doing something inspiring. So I was like, let me just,
that's awesome.
So it's really, really cute. And that was actually why I wanted to have you on for a few reasons,
but
we have to talk about the L word, obviously. I'm like, I will get
ripped
if we don't.
I know, right?
And I would love to talk to you about just like your experience with Persian identity and you know, everything with sex life and all that. I think your whole everything has been just so impactful and
inspiring
and awesome. So I would love to chat about all that. But before we get into
anything,
can you go ahead and introduce yourself, your name, pronouns, how you identify, whatever that is, if it's your, you know, like ethnic background to any of that, all the things.
Hey, I'm Sarah Shahi, and I just identify as Sarah Shahi.
Love that. Awesome.
That's all I got. I am who I am. I don't know.
Like, it is what it is. It is
every once in a while, I'm a piece of shit. Every once in a while, I'm pretty fucking cool. It's like, I have one foot in each at all times.
Just rolling on with life, honestly. But you're a mommy. You're
Persian. I'm mom.
Are you mixed? You're not full Persian, are you? I forget.
I'm pretty full. I mean, it was my grandmother on my mother's side that's Spanish, but I don't really, but I'm much more, I grew up much more around the Persian influence than anything Spanish, honestly. You know, the biggest sort of Spanish influence I got was living in California. So, because my mother was born and raised there, and my father was from there. And so my whole childhood, I grew up in Texas. I was born in Texas. And if anyone saw like the beginning of that movie Argo, that was kind of like my parents, that's how they fled and came to the States. It was like right as the revolution was happening, like a lot of stories that are out there about us first generations and how we got here. And I'm not too clear, but what I know was that he had to flee because he was on a hit list to be executed. Okay. There were ties to the Shah, like way back in the day, like one of the very first ruling dynasties of Iran, like in the 1920s or 30s. Mm-hmm. That's where my sort of like lineage on my dad's side came from that. Mm-hmm. And so my dad worked for the U.S. Embassy at that time, and he and my mom, they kind of like just, they fled in the middle of the night, left my brother behind.
Oh wow.
And then came to America. He had a job opportunity as like a cab driver in Texas, which is how they settled in Texas. Wow. And then they had me later.
Wow. God. Yeah, there's so many wild stories of people getting out. My dad got out, like, he came here for college a couple years before the revolution started, so he like barely got out in good timing. But I had a couple uncles over there that had to be like snuck out through like orange orchards in Pakistan, like back roads.
Just really wild. Intense.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because being, you know, a first generation, like I'm so glad I'm not full of like American roots. Like I'm so glad my roots are from this culture that is so deeply rooted in like the earth and the stars and ancestry and just like it's such an old civilization. Mm-hmm. And I love being the daughter of a foreigner because you really get the sense of appreciation for the things that you have. And like I remember, you know, I don't know if I was complaining about having to eat fesenjoon and I never liked that, or the broccoli or steamed spinach or whatever it was. And I was just like, ugh, you know, like, why do we have to have this? Why can't we just have pizza? Blah, 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 blah. And then she'd be like, you know, you should be so thankful that you have both arms. Like, what? Like, it's just such a weird thing to throw at a 5-year-old. Like, what? And it's not until I got older and honestly what's happening now that it all the stories of my youth really kind of came to my attention and they became true. And I was like, oh my gosh, wow, this is what she was talking about.
Totally.
You know? And so it's just, yeah. So I've just, I don't know. I'm really grateful. Like I chose the right people to come from. So.
Yeah. Oh yeah. God. Yeah. I totally relate to that. And that must've been such a trip growing up in Texas. Like, I mean, I've been to Texas a handful of times. Like I know the general vibe, but growing up there as like child of immigrants, non-white family, and you, Sarah is not your like given name.
No, right? No, that's not my real name. My real name is Ahu.
Yeah.
Which is thank you. But like, you know, yeah, when you're in a class full of like 25 other kids named Jennifer or like Anne or Becky, like that kind of stuff, you know, it's like all who was just, I got ridiculed so much in school. And one day I came home and I told my mom, I was like, I really want to change my name. And her being super open-minded, and she was like, okay, well, what do you want to change it to? And I said, well, I don't know, like Vicky. I wanted to be Vicky. And she's like, you don't look like a Vicky to me. And as we were having this conversation, the Jefferson Starship song, Sarah, was playing in the background. This is the 80s. Mm-hmm. And she was the one that was like, well, what about Sarah? And I was like, I'll take it. Like, if it were, come on, Eileen. I would have taken Eileen. And I would have been like, Eileen Shahi, you know?
Oh my God.
But so that's how it happened. And yeah, I wanted to be white. I wanted to be a white girl. I wanted to have blonde hair. I wanted to have blue eyes. You know, it's like,
I wanted to have the normal lunch coming to school, like a little sandwich.
I wanted to have the normal thing.
Like,
I know. Well, my mom would make me these gigantic sub sandwiches that were like 12 feet long. Like she'd send me with the whole thing and she'd put like olive oil and I mean, they smelled incredible.
Yeah.
When I got to like late junior high, I started selling them. Oh, because all the other kids like wanted them, but you could smell it from my like backpack. Like everyone knew, they called me Sarah J. Mm-hmm. Everyone's like, oh, Sarah J and her sandwiches. And then when I got older, I turned it into a little side hustle. But but yeah, like you just want to like fit in. You don't want to stick out.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's not till later that you realize how unique and how cool it is to stick out.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's such a thing, is like in general, all of the little bits of our personalities and identities that make us feel like we stick out or maybe like not fitting in or not, you know, good enough or not going to be accepted. They end up being the thing that makes us even more powerful, and just embracing those it's really like what makes you so special and unique. And it's always the stuff that we're most scared of, which is so wild that we're taught to be scared of who we are. And like,
I know.
It's just really funky. And even the like, just with Persian culture and just everything that's happening over there right now, it makes it even more like we have our difficulties as women, as, you know, anybody who has some kind of marginalized identity aspect. We all have our issues and our struggles, especially here in the States, but then hearing how much worse it is in other places, it does make you go like, okay, shit's pretty fucked up here, but like at least I have these things. And that makes me have a little bit more energy to fight for people that need to be fought for, and like raise my voice for people that maybe don't have a voice right now, because I have the blessing of a little bit more freedom compared to other people.
Yeah.
How was it for you when you did the L word? Persians are very like not very accepting, homophobic, and like
it's such a conservative culture.
Yeah.
So yeah. I was really lucky in a sense that my mother is like was like the black sheep of the family. She was always so accepting, always, you know, believed in expressing yourself, always believed in just sort of working hard, making your dreams come true, expressing yourself, diving into yourself. You know, I got really lucky that she really pushed all of those things when I was younger. Mm-hmm. And so when I auditioned for the L Word, I wasn't aware of the show. I don't even think I saw a lesbian or knew what a lesbian was or queer was or gay until I moved out to LA, you know, like growing up in a very small town in Texas. It was like middle to low class. and really great. There was, I lived in this, you know, very modest house up the street where a whole bunch of apartments that, a lot of my friends were like, they were Tongan. And so, and they're a big cultural family, but again, not necessarily like into the, like the homosexual culture. Like it was just not around me that I was aware of. Right.
Yeah.
I'm sure it was, but I just didn't know.
Yeah.
And so, and then when I auditioned for the L Word, and I had never seen the show before, and my like audition sides was Carmen and Shane. Mm-hmm. And I thought Shane was a boy, you know, I was like, oh, that's a boy, right. You know, it's a boy.
Oh my gosh.
And so I auditioned for the show and I thought L was love. And, I was just like, oh, I know, so naive. And so, yeah. So then I got the role and I was like, oh, okay. I was like, oh, this is awesome. You know, like, wow, I have a job. Like, this is amazing.
God.
And then I can't remember. It was before I got the role. I think I went to the costume fitting and I saw all the girls, like I saw their pictures and I was like, oh, I was like, well, which one's, where's Shane? Which one's Shane?
Oh my God. You had no
idea. And they're like, that's Kate. I had no idea. And then my very first, and I was like, oh, and even then, like it wasn't, I wasn't scared. I wasn't upset. I wasn't bothered. Nothing affected me. Nothing rattled me in the sense that it was going to be another woman. It was just different than what I thought. So I was like, oh, okay. I've never done this before. I was like, all right, well, it's still just the same. Like not much has changed, like for me internally, like, okay. And then I remember the first day on set is when I met Kate and it was like, Sarah, this is Kate. Kate, this is Sarah. In this scene, Kate's going to be going down on you.
That was your first scene?
That was my first day. That was my first introduction. That was my first meeting with Kate. And I remember thinking to myself, like, what?
Oh my God.
What is he going to do? Come again? And I was like, and you know, like pretend, right? Every actor knows how to do everything. Just fake it. I was like, okay, cool, no problem. And inside I'm just like, what the fuck did I say? Like, what?
Oh my God.
Like, do women do that? Like, you know, I don't think I still don't think I'd found my own vagina at that point, let alone somebody's going down on me. 21, 22, like,
God, okay, yeah,
you know, yeah, a late bloomer in general, but still, I was just like, hold on, do women do that? I was like, really? Okay, wow. Hey, you learned something new. and then the rest was history, you know, it's like, I just kind of, I took to those women like a fish to water, and Kate and I are still really great friends, even though we never get to see each other, but, there's no love lost in all the years that we haven't seen each other, but yeah.
Wow. I think honestly, like that role was so impactful for me. Cause I found out you were Persian, which that was, I was figuring out I was gay when I was 15 and I started watching the L Word when that season two was on. That was like my first introduction. I had never met a lesbian before. I didn't really like know that was a thing really. And my friend who was like curious because her boyfriend had been cheating on her, she's like, I'm gonna date girls because guys suck. And I was like, okay. And she had started watching the show and I watched with her and I was like, oh my God, wait, what? And so I got like sucked into it and was like, wait, this is like, things are happening here.
If I could pick my sexuality, I'd go for women too.
Yeah.
I mean, guys are a fucking handful to say the least. But it's like, women would be a lot better. It was just a really, it was beautiful. Like I didn't realize again at the time, I mean, I was just a, you know, starving artist, you know, I was just happy to have a job, but it's like, and I didn't realize when I was doing it, how impactful just the show was in general, how impactful all the characters became. Right. And it wasn't until, and you know, my contract was only for two seasons. I was only contracted for the second and third.
Yeah, I was going to. I kind of have like happened.
Yeah, I have like commitment phobia when it comes to like television shows and in general. Like I, you know, it's like I'm not a very good TV person because I get I get bored. I want to see what's out there.
Right.
Like I'm a full-on commitment phobe, you know, with television.
Yeah.
But so from the beginning, it was only a 2-year deal. And but yeah, it was just, yeah, it was really, really beautiful and impactful. And the stories, letters, people that would come up to me and just be like, your character helped me come out. Or I came out to my parents by watching the show and they accepted me better because they understood it better. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, it was just really, it was really cool to be a part of something that was kind of a pioneer of its time. Yeah, helped so many people.
Super groundbreaking at the time. Like,
Yeah.
And still, I mean, there's been like different iterations of the L word since, and like,
yeah,
kind of shows that especially now the last few years we're getting more representation in general, but like,
yeah, yeah.
To me still, like, that's like gay girls, Sex in the City. Like, it's just going to be
for sure
impactful thing that everybody
just goes a classic.
To. Yeah. Yeah.
Yep, it's just a classic. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. That had to be so like crazy to have that be your first role. My God.
I know. The first role, the first day on set, like my first introduction to, had I done Alias? I think I had done Alias. I was recurring on Alias right before that. And so I had, you know, like I wasn't a regular. Mm-hmm. And this was my first regular gig. And yeah, for it to turn into this sort of iconic piece of art, you know, is, yeah, I'm just really, really grateful I got to be a part of it.
Do you have ever like any thoughts or wishes that like, I wish I would have done another season or come back, or like wish that the story of Carmen and Shane kind of evolved differently because it was such a tragic end?
Yeah, I, you know, it's like I reached out to this latest showrunner, or Marjan, I think her name was, and they did not have any room for me to come back to the show. I reached out quite a few times and was like, I'd love to come and play with you guys for a bit, you know, whether it's one episode, or I'd love to be a part of this, whatever. And it was just very clear that there was a line and they were not going to cross it with me. So I did want another opportunity to see. It would be fun to see Shane and Carmen currently.
Yeah.
But yeah, I, as far as saying yes to more seasons, or, I mean, I was never approached, but I don't really regret anything. You know, it's like, I went off to a really kind of a critical darling after that called Life, with this actor named Damian Lewis, who was just marvelous. And I learned a lot from him. And, you know, I would just kind of got set on my trajectory a little bit. But no, I don't wish for anything different. Mm-hmm. I would love to go back, though, for an episode or two and just see what would happen with these characters in the present day. But yeah, I don't wish for anything different.
Did that experience in general kind of help you with anything in your personal life as far as figuring yourself out and just, you know, just who you were?
I don't think I figured anything out.
Does anyone have anything figured out?
You know, I know. It's one of those things where I feel like when you read a script and there's something spiritual kind of that has to happen. You have to have this recognition, right? You have to have this, for me at least, I have to recognize parts of myself or my soul or something in the character that I'm playing. Mm. Otherwise, I don't think I'm going to do a good job. And with all the roles that I've played, I've learned things about myself, and then I've made mistakes and I've had to go back and relearn some things. I mean, it's just the never-ending journey of life, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I'm writing a book right now, you know, called Life is Lifey. And it's true. It's like, we're up and down, we're left and right. And one day we have it together and the next day, you know, we don't. And to just be able to manage all of those with sort of the highest vibrational attitude as possible. And, you know, I used to think that meant like when things are falling apart to be like, I'm okay. Mm-hmm. I'm totally okay. Like, I'm happy. Everything is great. But then you're just like a psychopath.
Yeah.
And you're denying what's happening inside. You're just trying to suppress things.
Mm-hmm.
But to really sort of dive into your emotions, sadness, grief, those are all, and you know, it's like that saying, this too shall pass, with the good stuff and the bad stuff.
Right.
So not to get too stuck in any sort of, you know, thing.
Mm-hmm.
mm-hmm. and to just take things as they come and to don't, to not resist, you know, sometimes I feel like that's the best way through things is you just don't totally. Resist.
Totally. Yeah. I think people like when something good happens or life is like being, is behaving for once and everything is like not for once.
Right.
Get a little too comfortable, like, oh, okay, finally everything's good. And it's like, it's good for now. Yeah. Like,
prepare. Yeah. And it's good to celebrate those. And it's good to celebrate those. It's good mm-hmm. to have gratitude for those days and those right. moments and everything. But, you know, when the walls come crashing down, and they will, you know, to be able to sort of navigate that in a similar perspective, I guess, you know, it's like sometimes I try to look at things from a bird's eye view and mm-hmm. it's kind of like, okay, how big is this? How important is this? You know, how much of my attention does it really deserve, you know? Yeah, so I don't know. I'm still trying to figure it out, I guess. But all I know is that I'm wiser than I was last year. That's all I try to be.
Yeah. I saw your was it Glamour? You wrote an article in Glamour, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I read that and I was Glamour, like, I sent it to like all my friends who are moms, but also it just like, it really like, it resonates so much because I don't have kids obviously, but like I'm in my 30s and so many of my friends are either like they have kids or they're family planning or they're in like, you know, they have like 1-year-olds and 3-year-olds and I'm just, I play auntie and I'm just observing.
Yeah.
I have so much like compassion and empathy for what that kind of lifestyle is like, because I feel like nobody really talks about it in a super honest way. They're like, yeah, being a mom's hard, or like getting older is hard, or midlife,
right
being in your 30s and 40s is hard, and it just kind of stops there. But it's really like, it really, I think, explained very well how life has its ups and downs, and you don't just get to this point of like, okay, I have the family, I have the career, I have the this, and you know, everything's all perfect now, and then we just maintain this little bubble forever. It's like things are going to shift, and the things you want are going to change, and the things that make you happy and fulfilled are going to change, and the variables in your life are going to change. Things are all going to change, and it's okay for them to change, and it's okay to go after the things that will make you happy and stop forcing yourself to sit in the box of what you think your life is supposed to look like.
And I just think, you know, it's one of those things where I feel like, yes, it was definitely because I am a mom, I do have the perspective of a mother, but it's also, it can resonate true for anybody, because I have had so many moments in my life, you know, I think they became heightened after children, but like before, and I have friends who don't have kids and they are still kind of questioning like, what would happen if I did this instead of that? Or maybe they're in a relationship that isn't really serving them on the most fulfilling level, but they're afraid to speak up, or they just, you know, so it's like, I think the overall message that I want to give to people, whether it's in my work as an actress, whether it's in my writing in the book, is it's like, and this is something that Sex Life really taught me, is that it, to really truly live in a place of authenticity, to figure out who the fuck you are. And you can't do that until you have your downs. You can't do that until you have your conflicts and until you're fighting and you're till, you know, it's like, so it really takes those knocks to like figure out who you are and what you stand for and what you like and what you don't like. And what your triggers are. And, you know, so it's like to dive into those bad moments too, but then to operate from a place of truth. And so it's like, find out who you are and do it on purpose, you know, and have those boundaries. So if there's anybody around you that's trying to dim your light or is, you know, making fun, you know, obviously I'm not talking like you don't take a joke, but it's like your gut speaks to you. Your gut speaks to you. You know, if people are approaching you in a way that's like respectful and out of love and kindness, or if someone's coming from a place of wanting to like put you down, or, you know, they give you a backwards compliment and it just never feels good. And it's weird, you know, so it's just kind of like, you kind of know, but to really trust yourself and listen to that part of yourself, because it's there for a reason.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So if there's anything that I sort of like, you know, I have felt like, I don't know if it's a mission, but a purpose that I feel, you know, now after going through what I did on Sex Life, mm-hmm. is I always say, you know, speak up, even if your voice shakes.
Yeah.
You know, you have to honor.
So hard when I read that, I was like, oh God. Like,
yeah, it's hard to do.
Yeah.
It's really hard to do. It's scary because I'm a people pleaser.
Yeah. Same.
And I'm trying to fix that. And I'm working, you know, I'm 43. Like, I don't know when it started, but I was pretty young. Mm-hmm. And it's hard because the easy thing to do is we don't want conflict.
Right.
We don't want conflict. It's easier to keep the peace. We don't want conflict. And also, I'm somebody who naturally takes a lot on. Like, I can handle a lot of pressure. I can handle a lot of stress. And like, I still have a really good attitude about it all. So for the most part, I'll take on the brunt of suppressing my emotions in order to create a peaceful environment. Mm-hmm. But what I'm learning is that comes back to bite me so much.
Yeah.
It just does. And I can't do that. And I'd much rather learn and start speaking from the truth and go through those conflicts, no matter how big or small they are, and figure shit out sooner than later.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. One thing I'm like, I'm practicing, and I've had to, cause same thing. And my therapist is like, okay, we've got boundaries figured out. Now you're like, you've gone too far and now your boundaries are so rigid. Like, let's learn to flex the boundaries. We can have awareness. Right. And that's a whole other thing too, is like, okay, I can speak up. I can have boundaries. I can have my feelings. I can want more. And then now, how do I decide when to give a little and when to stand?
Right.
And, you know, it's just a constant. It's a constant learning game of just like ups and downs, back and forths and all that.
Yeah. And I also think it's also, you know, like ego, you know, it's like mm-hmm. to like check the ego. Michael Beckwith has this great, ego stands for edging God out. And if I get stuck in a place where I'm trying to decide if my, you know, if my boundaries are getting violated, like ego, I feel my ego, my like chest, like if I get jealous or insecure, or if somebody went against what I said or what I thought, it's like, I feel it in a place. Or is it the other way around? Hold on, wait. Now let me think about it. I feel it up here. That's where it is. I feel it in my mind. Mm-hmm. I feel like my mind gets triggered and I kind of get hot. And I take myself through, okay, why am I upset? That whole thing, you know? And then, but when it's intuition and a gut feeling about something that I just don't like, it feels much more centered. It's much more like in my core, it's down here. It's like this deep knowingness that almost makes me feel sick at times.
Yeah.
You know? And so, but yeah, it is. It's part of being human. It's part of that human experience. Life is supposed to life.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah. It's the whole, the somatic experience of it all, just like having that, noting when you're feeling things in different spots of your body, it really tells you a lot. If you actually just stop and tune into where it is, like, is this fear? Is this anxiety? Is this ego? Is this, you know, what the hell is this? Is this, am I just excited? Or is this really a good thing to go after? Like, there's so many things.
And, you know, and I'm somebody who also doesn't want to regret anything. Mm-hmm. So it's like, I hate the idea of me being on my deathbed and looking back at my life and then going, fuck, mm-hmm. I should have done this. I should have done that. Or, you know, I should have left that relationship, or I should have dove into this, or why didn't I do that? Like, that to me sounds so sad. That's the mm-hmm. saddest thing ever. Is so I'd much rather do things. You know, like, I'm an Aries rising. And so it's like that, it's very crazy and spontaneous at times, but I'd much rather do things and ask for forgiveness than to not do them at all.
Right. I think forgiveness is another thing that people struggle with so much and need to learn to give themselves in a different way, because it's so easy to look back and be like, I wish I would have, you know, left that relationship sooner, or chased my dream sooner, or worked faster, or, you know, done this thing differently, and I could be somewhere else by now and be happier by now, or be more fulfilled by now.
Right.
And I think learning to forgive ourselves for all the detours on our journey is
really
important.
And that's the thing too, right? Is it's like, you can't know before you know.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, we're always trying to make the best decisions that we think are going to serve ourselves the best in the moment. Mm-hmm. And hindsight is 20/20, and we do learn as we grow. And even if we grow just 1%, 1% a year, that's still growth.
Yeah.
In some area.
Yeah.
You know, and so, let's say that again.
And worth celebrating.
Like, and that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah, but you're right. It's like to be able to have that same sort of self-compassion, you know, mm-hmm. for ourselves, to love ourselves as unconditionally as we would love a partner or whatever. It's like, mm-hmm. we do owe it to ourselves to give ourselves that same compassion. Mm-hmm. Everyone's just trying to do their best.
Yeah. Did doing your role as Billy on Sex Life, did that help you with kind of forgiving yourself for wanting to be happier and going after just?
Yeah. I mean, you know, the period, my mental state when I got Billy is I was already sort of bubbling over with frustration and confusion and a desire to sort of break free. Mm-hmm. And so the days of me sort of like getting mad at myself for wanting that, those had already happened years prior. You know, it's like I really accepted a version of my life that was not what I wanted for quite a number of years. Mm-hmm. And so by the time I got Billy, she was just like a buzz in my veins that I couldn't get out. Mm-hmm. It was almost like I had, you know, become possessed by this fictional character, and, you know, and the courage that the character had to question those things, to act on those things, really sort of infected me. Mm-hmm. And I started having courage to do things. And it doesn't, and it was over 2020. I cried. I mean, it was so hard. Everyone knows I got a divorce in 2020. And it was just so hard. I mean, I was Uber eating, you know, a bottle of Milagro, you know, every day, and, you know, locking myself in the bathroom just so I could cry. You know, it was just
hard.
Really, it was really hard, but it was right. And, you know, coming through the other side and sort of finding, you know, a life that was more in tune with who I am, like, was worth all the pain.
It's funny how the universe really presents us with exactly what we need when we need it. Sometimes we need that mm-hmm. little in the butt, or that thing that's going to give us that
extra
ounce of courage or push.
Yeah. And you know what? I couldn't make the decisions earlier. Mm-hmm. Like, the decisions that I made in 2020, I was ready to make those decisions, mm-hmm. you know? And the reason they didn't happen earlier was because I wasn't ready earlier.
Right.
And, you know, and I had more children, which I don't regret that. I have, you know, it's like, so everything led up to me being who I am now. And, you know, that's somebody that I can lay my head down at night and be proud of sort of who I am and the example I can lead to my kids. Mm-hmm.
Do you have any advice for anyone who maybe doesn't have a Billy role that is presented to them,
or
something in life that they're struggling to do what they know would make them happier, but they don't quite have that sign or that.
Yeah.
Like, what would you say to people who are like dealing with that?
I mean, you know, the very simple thing is that speak up, even if your voice shakes. And so a lot of times for me, the way I would start off conversations that were really difficult mm-hmm. is I would actually just be so vulnerable and so honest. Never come from a place of like attack or trying to put the other person down or make them wrong, but it would be like, you know, I'm really scared to say this to you right now. So it's taking a lot of courage for me to even say this. Mm-hmm. So if you can please just hear me out, I blah, 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 blah. you know, and to just be super, super honest. Because if you're super honest and very vulnerable, then I feel like you can't regret how things go down.
Right.
You know, but if you're coming from a place of either manipulation or you're trying to pretend to be cool or you're pretending like you're not hurt when something really does hurt you, or you're lying about something and it doesn't go the way you want, you'll never know the truth because you weren't being honest.
So true.
So, you know, so I just really say, you know, it's like dive into those hard conversations. Because sort of like the truth of who you are and what your soul is asking you to do and why you're here, like those are all in those hard conversations. And just be really, really vulnerable. Come with your heart in your hand and say these things, because I feel like people will hear things better too. Like if you aren't attacking and you're not using like you words, you make me feel like this, but instead it's like, I feel blah, 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 you know? So that's the advice I would give, I guess.
Yeah, no, it's solid advice. It's simple and solid advice. Like, just be honest and don't check people.
Like another one, another little, like I'm like a bumper sticker with my metaphors and the little saying sometimes, but follow your happy. That was something I heard Goldie Hawn say one time. And I thought that was so simple. Like people who don't know what to do or don't know what direction to take or whatever, but it's like, maybe you don't know enough to figure out the rest of your life, but follow your happy. Like right. What makes you happy, you know, and laugh, and not to forget that it's like, it's life's purpose to life. Mm-hmm. So it's like, nothing is really that important in the long run. Mm-hmm. And you never know. It's like, we're all on borrowed time. Nobody gets out of here alive. So it's like, learn to laugh. We're supposed to have fun.
Yeah. Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm going to ask you one last question because I feel like that was like amazing. I have my last question. Okay. Everybody the same thing. If you had your dream, like creative zone, it could literally be on the moon, underwater, science, physics, like nothing matters. You have your dream space where you can just go and just let everything out. You can write, you can, you know, make music, whatever makes you happy. What would that space look like?
I would probably pick something overlooking the water. Mm. I find a lot of water for me is very cathartic. And I mean, I figure out world problems in the shower. And so, you know, and it's like, look, we came from water. We're mostly water. So maybe that's what it is. It's like a returning of home. But like, I do a lot of emotional work when I'm like in the shower or when I'm in water. And so it would probably be a space that's, you know, kind of like quiet, not occupied by anybody else. And I love being alone. I'm a really good loner. Mm-hmm. And literally just like overlooking the water where I could just see the ocean or a lake or something like all the time. Like that, for me, that would be my creative space.
Well, I think that's an amazing note to end things on. Thank you so much.
Okay, cool.
This was amazing.
Thank you so much. I know it's so good to see you again.
Yeah,
like, you look so beautiful. Like 10 o'clock in the morning and you just look like a Revlon model. Like it's amazing.
Girl, I woke up and slapped makeup on my face and just said a prayer.
I love it. I love it. You're like, please let everything be in place today.